I love to wait, said no one. It thrills my soul just to wait a little longer. No, I'm not picking on doctors, but it seems when I have a doctor's appointment, not with my doctor, but with your doctor, I get there early because I don't want the doctor to wait. And I get there early thinking if I'm early, then they will see me early. And often, 45 minutes later, I'm still sitting in the waiting room and my heart is so full of joy. Or I go to the bank, and it's much quicker. Not, you don't want to go in the lobby of the bank. No one does that. You go through the drive-thru. There are five different ones, and they all have that green light. And you look, and you pick one, and it's the slowest one. And you wait, and every other car has gone in front of you. And you say, I will never go to the bank again because I don't like to wait. Or you go to Brookshire Brothers. You just need to buy a six-pack of Dr. Pepper, and you're there, and you scope out the line as you're walking to it, and you're saying, which one? This one. And it's the only person in Lufkin that still writes a check. They're in front of you, and they write the check, but the check is still in there. Her purse, and she digs for the checkbook, and she digs for the pen, and then she says, now how much? And she writes it in cursive. And then she stubs it. And then she balances her checkbook while you wait, and everyone else has left the store. And you say, I love to wait. Now, this really happened. Tuesday, we eat really well, and so for $6.50, you can get a Little Caesar's pizza. Why eat anything else? Aria's going to make the salad. I say, I'm going to run and get Little Caesar's, $6.50. I don't write a check. I have cash, and I pull around there, and there are three cars in front of me. But everyone, Little Caesar's, they have them stacked up. You don't have to wait. And the first one goes, and the second one goes, and the third one right in front of me is a pickup. And I wait. And wait, and they must have been ordering pizza for the entire junior high because they brought out boxes and boxes and boxes. I waited 20 minutes for that. Why didn't they say, pull around? But no, they just sat there. And then it was my turn, and I said, I need one pizza, extra pepperoni, $6.50. And they said, sir, it'll be just a while. We're out. Oh, yeah. And this is true. As I waited, the Little Caesar 18-wheeler truck pulled and parked right in front of me. I couldn't make that up. And there the truck, and I can't go backwards. It took 40 minutes for my Little Caesar's pizza. And I loved waiting. But what about that hospital waiting room? When that one you love is in surgery and time just stops. Or the ER waiting room. Or how about when you wait on God? You have prayed and you've prayed and you've thought and you've prayed and you wait. Psalm 130, I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits. Psalm 130 is another one of the lament penitential psalms. There are really seven classic laments that we find in the Psalter. We've looked at two of them, Psalm 13, Psalm 40, and now this morning, if you have your Bible, Psalm 130. Early in my ministry, I preached a lot of the Psalms, and I always found myself going to the Psalms of praise and Psalms of thanksgiving. But after 33 years of pastoring, I, I find myself more and more going to the laments, because I think that's where most of us are. Humanity is in need, and in many are hurting, and we need an honest word that we can hang on to. Psalm 130 begins, out of the depths, out of the depths, a deep chasm, an abyss. One translation said, out of the watery chaos. I don't have to explain to you what it means to be in the depths. Grief, sickness, depression, confusion, darkness. Anyone having COVID anxiety, despair, whatever it is, out of the depths, I cry to you, O Lord. That word cry in the Hebrew is not a small whimper. It is a deep, groaning sob. Picture Jesus in the New Testament, though in Greek, the word that Jesus stood at the grave of Lazarus and he sobbed. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, weeping, sobbing. That's the same word here. I cry out to you. An Old Testament scholar in the Psalms, Bernhard Anderson, wrote this. The cry is not for the Lord to hear, not to awaken him, for the Lord hears all and misses nothing. The pleading cry of the psalmist is that the Lord would hear with ears of grace and favor, with mercy and kindness. The cry of the psalmist is not a cry of abandonment, but rather it's a cry filled with hope and expectation. For the psalmist knows that God loves. The psalmist knows God forgives. The psalmist knows that God redeems. Verse 3 and 4, because Lord, if you kept a record of our sins, who could stand? But with you, there is forgiveness. But with you, there is forgiveness and grace and mercy and redemption. But truly, the heart of Psalm 130, it's not found in the first four verses, at least for me. It's found in verses 5 through 8. Many scholars believe that Psalm 30 was originally two psalms. Verses 1 through 4, what was one poem, one reading, and verses 5 through 8 would have been a separate psalm. And through the years, they were combined together. Psalm 130, I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits. I wait for the Lord more than the watchman wait for the morning, more than the watchman wait for the morning. I wait, and in his word, I put my hope. Wait and hope. Verse 6, more than the watchman, I wait. A watchman's job, the primary job, and maybe the only job, is to wait and to watch. To watch on guard, looking for enemies that might during the night attack. A watchman is alert and awake and obedient. The watchman is ready to respond. But the psalmist said, I wait more. I wait even more than the watchman. Wait more than the watchman. But as I wait, verse 7 and 8, my hope is in the Lord. My hope is in the full redemption of the Lord. My hope is in the unfailing love of the Lord. My hope is that all sins are forgiven. I wait for the Lord, my being waits, and in His word I put my hope. Hang on to that. In His word, I put my hope in the power of Scripture, the God-breathed word. I put my hope in the promises of God's word. I put my hope. But remember, when we read Scripture, we should always be reading Scripture through the person of Christ. And even in the Old Testament, we read Scripture looking forward. I put my hope in the Word. John said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. In Him, the Word was life, and that life was the light of mankind. And the light shines even in the darkness, and darkness cannot overcome the light. John 1:14, the Word became flesh and made His home with us. I wait for the Lord, my being waits, and in the Word, in Christ Jesus, the Word, I put my hope. I've jumped all around Psalm 130. If you're trying to follow, you're saying, what a week the pastor must have had. Verses 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. So let me just offer three truths that I see in Psalm 130. And here's the first one. Waiting is all about patience and trust. Waiting may very well be the process of you becoming what God desires you to be. God can often be found in the wait. God allows the wait. What God is allowed to do in you as you wait may be more important by far than what you're even waiting for. Hear that again. What God longs to do in you as you wait may very well be more important than what you're waiting for. Could it be that as we wait, God is saying, do you trust me? We know God loves us. We know we've experienced the forgiveness of God. We have been redeemed by God. And I think God says, if I love you and if I have forgiven you and if I have redeemed you, why don't you trust me? Trust me. Waiting is all about trusting. Secondly, waiting reminds us that God really is in control. Verse 6, the watchman. Remember, a watchman doesn't make things happen, not then and not now. Watchmen, as much as they long and as much as they wish, as much as they think morning come quicker, come dawn, come on, come. They can't make it happen. A watchman can't make night linger and linger. A watchman cannot control the night. The watchman's job is to wait and to watch and to allow God to do his job. Do you know the difference in your job and God's job? At times I forget that. I think God needs my help. God needs my help to accomplish his will. And I want to push God and say, come on, God. Surely you, God, do you hear me? God, you need, I get in the place that I think I'm God. You know what a watchman would say at the end of the watch, at the end of that long night when the watchman could not make dawn come, when the watchman endured the night, when dawn came at the proper hour, the watchman would go to those he reported to and would say, the sun has risen and all is well. That's kind of the word of Easter morning, wasn't it? The angel said, the sun, S-O-N, the sun has risen and all is well. And finally, waiting on God will grow you up spiritually if you endure. Waiting on God will mature you in your relationship to God if you hang on. This goes against our grain. This goes against, especially in our day in which we live, we want a quick fix. We're in an instant society. We want everything right now. Now, folks, I don't pretend to understand waiting. I don't like it. It would be so easy for me to stand up here as your pastor and say, you just wait, you just trust God. You might say, I don't want to wait, and I don't care if I never mature spiritually. Just God, answer my prayer. God, this is what I want. Forget about maturing me. I don't want to be mature. If that's what it takes, I'll just stay as a babe in Christ. God longs for us to grow. And if in waiting, God can grow us. I don't understand God's ways. I don't understand a lot of God's plans. I don't understand God's timing, but I want to stand with God. And I do want to mature. So how do I do it? I wish I had some quick formula to tell you. I think I just keep waiting. And I just keep trusting. And I just keep hoping. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits, and in his word, in the word, in Christ, I put my hope. Psalm 5, verse 3. In the morning, Lord, hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you, and I wait expectantly. Psalm 37, verse 7. Be still before the Lord, and patiently wait on him. Fret not. Psalm 40, the psalmist said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he turned to me, and he heard my cry.
Isaiah the prophet, Isaiah 40. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. But he gives strength to the weary, and he increases the power of the weak. Even teenagers grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who wait and hope in the Lord will renew their strength. And one day they will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. If they wait and hope. We just sang it. Out of the depths I cry to you. In darkest places I will call. Incline your ear to me anew and hear my cry. For mercy, Lord, I will wait for you. I will wait for you on your word. I will rely. I will wait for you, surely wait for you. Till my soul you satisfy. Shall we pray? And so we wait. We don't always like it. But we wait, and we wait, and we hope, and we trust. We trust you, God, because you've never failed us yet, and you won't. You love us. You've redeemed us. You've forgiven us. God, you're in control. I don't understand your ways. I don't understand your timing. And I really don't like to wait. But I'll wait. And I'll trust. And I'll hope. Because I have a blessed assurance. I have an assurance that you're there. That you're with me. And you're walking with me. God, let us wait. And let us hope. God, would you mature us, grow us up as we wait on you, is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.